Jesus' name, amen. All right, in John chapter 8, we're going to see that Jesus doesn't just tell a group of people claiming to be Jews that their father was the devil because they didn't believe in him. He actually tells them that they don't believe in him because their father already was the devil. And that's kind of a great mystery to many people and something that a lot of people overlook when studying the Bible. And we're going to take a deep look into this in this chapter. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, excuse me, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now, this is an important verse to all believers today. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, okay? So if we don't continue in the word, if we get away from the word, if we're not studying the word, we're not a disciple. Think about it. It's common sense, right? A disciple means a disciplined student of Jesus Christ, studying his life, studying his teachings, and trying to incorporate his teachings and his way of life into our life. That's what being a disciple is. And Jesus says, if you continue, then you are my disciples. In other words, the opposite would be if you discontinue, you are not my disciples. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now think about that. That is a powerful statement. One of the most popular verses in the Bible. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You could be a slave to man and still be free in the spiritual sense, right? And it's the truth that does that. That's why somebody who has the truth can have great peace of mind even when their whole world around them is falling apart, or even in a nation where there's deep sin and corruption and chaos, you still, as an individual, have that peace and comfort knowing that you are free in Christ. You have this liberty this feeling of liberation, if you would, that other people don't have. Verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Now, this is a peculiar statement because we know that Abraham's descendants were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Abraham's descendants, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Israelites, slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They were taken into Assyrian and Babylonian captivity and were slaves for many years. So why are these guys saying, we've never been in bondage to any man, we be Abraham's seed? Because Abraham's seed suffered a lot of slavery. A lot of, and that's something that's interesting, you know, in America today we have this idea that black people were the only people that had ever suffered slavery and that we should forever... Now, there's great black Christians. We love them. We appreciate them. This is not a racial statement that I'm about to make. But the statement I'm about to make is that white people, white European Christians that descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our ancestors have suffered lots of slavery throughout history. So they're not the only people who have ever been in bondage to any man. But this is a confusing statement that they would make. And some speculate that maybe they're making this statement because they're a little ignorant of history and or they are imposters who work themselves in and among the tribe of Judah and claim to be Jews or of Abraham's seed, but never really actually understood the history, okay? It's interesting. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Notice Jesus didn't correct them and say, hey, no, you claim to be of Abraham's seed, but you don't know about Egypt. You don't know about Syria. You don't know about Babylonia. Jesus didn't even talk about that. What did he go to? The spiritual. What kind of slavery is more devastating, being a slave to the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, or a slave to Satan himself? Because think about this, to be a slave to the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, or whatever, that slavery often is brought on by God, okay, to correct his people, to make their life a little harder so that they will be drawn to him in correction. But to be a slave to Satan is something much greater than the Babylonian captivities, than the Roman occupation, if you would, because you are owned by Satan when you are a servant of sin. So that should make us, we were talking about it right beforehand, that should make us hate sin because it's something that wants to control us. Imagine, you know, how people get so rebellious, right? Even teenagers. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I want to do my thing. Okay, I'm not talking about my teenagers. My teenagers are perfect, okay? You know, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I'm going to live my own life or whatever. They think they're resisting oppression, but they're actually inviting oppression by doing that, right? When you don't want to listen to God and you want to live in sin, you're actually enslaving yourself. You're stealing your own joy, your own liberty, and you're deceived. And Satan's really good at this. He's good at deceiving people into being his slave and making them think that it's their idea and they're free. But they're not, because they have to keep committing these sins because they have to keep serving the devil, okay? Because they're his slave. And the devil's going to increasingly want you to do more and more sin so that you can become a better servant of his. That's why, you know, when people often at young ages dabble in something that's bad, right? Could start out as something that seems kind of innocent, but then to get that same high, to get that same rush and adrenaline feeling like you just did something really dangerous, you got to keep increasing the amount of sin to fulfill that need. And that's because Satan is becoming your master more and more. And that's what sin does to us. So if our young people, people in general looked at sin the way they do in rebelling against righteousness, man, we'd have a lot different place, wouldn't we? A lot different mindset. Because righteousness actually frees you. It doesn't put you in bondage. And that's the big deception Satan has going over the world today. Think about when he deceived Eve. He tried to make God look like the oppressor and him the liberator when it was all deception. It was all lies. Satan was bringing, he was lying, he was deceiving, he was bringing death upon them, yet they bought into the lie. Okay, verse 35, and a servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Now, this is interesting. This lets us know a little bit about Jesus' authority, okay, and why he can do what he can do, because he's the Son of God. He's not like one of us, right? We're servants of God, and Jesus later on says he calls us no more servants, but friends, and we can get into that another time. But by biological birth, Jesus was the Son of God, right? And therefore, he was different than, let's say, the prophets, John the Baptist, Ezekiel. Those are all servants, okay? Those are all servants. Jesus is the Son. There's a big difference between a son and a servant. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, they probably didn't understand a word of what he just said here, but Jesus was proclaiming himself to be the Son of God and says that he has the power to make them free. To make them free from what? To make them free from sin, okay? To liberate them. Another servant can't liberate another servant, but the one in authority can buy you, purchase you. Now think about this. the way Jesus frees us from the devil is he has to actually purchase us from the devil. Because when we, before we're born again, before we become a believing Christian, we are in bondage to Satan, right? He is our master because we've not taken that step to become free. Well, Jesus still has to buy us because we are slaves and we could be traded on the slave market, if you would, from the devil to this demon to that demon, whatever. But Jesus has to buy us. And what that's like the whole gospel message. How did he buy us? Well, he redeemed us with his blood. That was the price of redemption. Okay, was his blood. That's how this works. Verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Now, this is interesting. It seems that he's acknowledging that they are of Abraham's seed. And there's a big argument about this among scholars. I believe it's possible that he's just saying, you know, he's saying, okay, just I'll take you at your word for it. You're Abraham's seed, okay? But I personally believe that Jesus wasn't acknowledging that they were of Abraham's pure biological line. I tend to think that that he was just kind of sarcastically saying, yeah, I know that's your claim, but here, let's get to the heart of the matter here. You seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Either way, whether they were of Abraham's biological seed or not, it doesn't really change the message all that much, okay? The moral lesson all that much. May change the deeper prophetic understanding, but not really the moral lesson, okay? So he says, I know you're of Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Remember that the Jews since chapter 5 have been trying to kill Jesus. They tried to arrest him a couple chapters ago, in chapter 7, tried to arrest him, but were afraid to do that. Verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Well, we know Jesus's father was God, both spiritually and biologically, right? So what's he talking about when he says, you do that which you have seen? Who's he talking about? Who's their father? Verse 39. Now, I will say this really quick. When we're talking about fathers, you don't get to choose who your father is. Now, this is important because this plays into the prophetic part that I was talking about, right? And we talked about in the introduction. It's not necessarily those who choose Jesus that's their father, because you don't, in our earthly life, you don't get to choose your parents, right? You're born into that line. It's predestination. Somehow God decided your soul was going with this family for his reasons. That's important to think about as we read through this here. So their father, it wasn't somebody they chose. It wasn't a mentor, a false prophet that they were following. It was their father that Jesus says they were mimicking. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now think about this. There's this big discussion going on today with the modern Israeli nation. I want to ask you this question. When you literally look at the personality, the fruits, all of that, of that nation, does that nation mirror the behavior of Abraham? Think about that. And if not, who's really their father? I don't care if we're talking biologically or spiritually, it's still the same message, okay? And they've deceived, we obviously know that this nation is anything but a nation that resembles what Abraham was like. And yet, what are they? What's their big boast over there? We're the chosen people of God. This land belongs to us. We deserve it. And you Christians bow down and worship us and tell everybody else that in order to be a good Christian, you have to be a good Zionist and a pro-Israel person. Okay? That's totally opposite of what Jesus, I mean, literally, if Jesus was talking to anybody right now, today, if you were to say, who's Jesus talking to today in John 8, chapter 4, he's talking to the Israelis. He's talking to the Christian Zionists. He's talking to the Ted Cruzes. He's talking, because those are the guys with this same mentality. They're of Abraham's seed. Therefore, they get special privileges. They're born free. That's what they claim, right? That's the claim, but there really isn't any proof. And Jesus says, I think Jesus was being sarcastic, but he says the proof is really in what you're doing, not your claim. Think about that. The proof is really what you're doing and not your claim. So he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. And I will add, Abraham would have never been the father of communism that was responsible for the deaths of over 70 million Christians, targeting Christians, persecuting Christians. Abraham would have never done that. But these people that claim to be of Abraham's descent, Karl Marx, the father of the son of a Jewish rabbi, that's his philosophy. And the Bolsheviks. Everybody knows that the Bolsheviks were the majority of the Bolsheviks or the Communist Party that fomented the Communist Revolution. They all claimed, or the great majority of them claimed, to be of Jewish descent. And there are many others probably that hid their identity, like Esther, okay, and Mordecai. So Abraham would not do that, right? Not at all. But you know, as imperfect as Europe was and America, if you were to look anywhere in the world, where would you think the children of Abraham were? If you were to like, who acts like Abraham? Well, you would be looking at those people that were sending missionaries, those European Christians that were sending missionaries to all over the third world, building hospitals and schools for them. You would say, that looks like something that Abraham does. But committing genocide, spitting on Christians, these kids walking around acting like little snakes over in Jerusalem today with their yelling at people, that doesn't look like Abraham to me. That looks like something else. But you seek to kill me, a man that has told thee the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. And that really is, when you look at it, when you look at who finances the military-industrial complex, those people that get us into all of those wars, at the end of the day, find out who the people are that want to kill people all the time, whether it's assassinations, whether it's starting wars. Find out where that comes from. Because the murder and killing is the telltale sign of being a child of the devil, right? That seems to be the big sin, because they were after Jesus trying to kill him. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now this isn't, most people take this, I'll tell you this, most Christians take this passage, this chapter, completely spiritual, right? Very good scholars, good people do. I think they're missing out obviously the first prophecy of the entire Bible. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 said there would be a war between the woman's seed, which was a documented biological line going from Adam to Seth all the way to Christ, right? And then there was this serpent seed line that was going to be at war with that woman's seed. Well, most people say, well, they don't even really know how to explain it. They say, well, it's just bad people that war against good people. Well, what's the purpose of documenting the woman's biological line and saying that Jesus had to be born through this specific family line in order for this to all work out and be legitimate? Why was that all documented carefully? But then when we get to the serpent seed, we say, no, that's something spiritual. That's just somebody doing something bad. I'll say this. If it was just somebody doing something bad, the serpent seed or the children of the devil, everybody who's not a Christian is a child of the devil in that sense, right? And they are in one sense, but I say they're more servants of the devil. Everybody who commits sin is a servant of sin. But I do not believe that the woman taken in adultery was the same, just because she committed that grave sin, was the same kind of sinner that these guys were who were trying to kill Jesus, that claimed to be of Abraham's seed. How can I say that? Well, Jesus forgave the woman caught in adultery and said, go and sin no more. How does he react to these guys? He says that you're of your father, the devil. He didn't tell the woman caught in adultery, woman, you're of your father, the devil. I mean, it was a great sin that she committed, but why the difference? Christians often treat this as all the same. It's just kind of a watered down version. Good people choose God, bad people choose Satan. There's more to that than this. There's predestination. In fact, I'll say it this way. I believe that there are three major categories of people on this earth, probably more. I'm just going to generalize them into three categories. Number one, there is the elect of God, people that God has chosen to bring in the message of his kingdom, okay? That isn't to say that non-elect people can't spread the message as well, but these people are going to do it, right? Then there is the elect of Satan, which is the serpent seed. They are predestined to spread the message, the false gospel of the kingdom of the Antichrist. And then there are the rest of the people in the middle, right? You got the woman seed destined to spread the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you have the serpent seed destined to bring in lies, deception, and the message of the Antichrist, the beast kingdom. Then in the middle here, you have all those people that we're trying to reach, those people who have free will to choose which kingdom they want to be a part of, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. And this all gets mixed up among good scholars. They don't want to separate it like this, but it's the only thing to me that makes any sense. There are people that were born with a tendency to hear the Father's voice, and I'm going to document some of this in a little bit. When they heard it, they can just hear it and know that this is true. And there are people that I think are born through a family line that cannot hear the Father's voice. They just instantly reject it. It is something that's just not inside of them, if you would. That isn't to say, and if we go back to Cain, who we're going to read a scripture in a little bit, was of his father, the devil. God told him that sin lied at his door. In other words, he was going to live a life where sin was the natural thing he was reaching for, right? That was kind of inside of him. But God did hold out the olive branch to him and say, but if you choose righteousness, you will be accepted. So I think even somebody of the serpent seed can still accept the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'll add a caveat. I think it's very difficult for them to do it. Think about this, because if their father is the devil already, they didn't choose him. They were born that way, right? Just as we're going to see, because you don't choose your father. Jesus is not going to use this analogy if this was a choice thing from the beginning. You have a natural, they could do it, but think about this is like, imagine forsaking your mother or father for a different mother or father. Imagine growing up, learning something one way your whole life, and then having to make a decision that this parent is bad, I'm going to trade this father for this father. That's not an easy thing for somebody to do when they've been programmed and trained their whole life to be like their earthly father, okay? So that's why Jesus says, you do the deeds of your father. Why? Because that's kind of a natural thing. And, you know, when I look at my kids, only when they do the good things do I realize that they're doing the deeds of their father. When they do the bad things, I'm wondering where they got that from. But, all right. So, but they said here, we be not born of fornication. Now, I want to circle back to this statement. They seem to have known that there were imposter lines, okay? So who was born of fornication? Well, many of us believe that Cain was, right? That Cain's line was the illegitimate line and his father was the devil. So they're right away saying, no, we're not born of some spurious family line. We have one father, even God. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. Now, he didn't say choose this day who you'll serve. He just makes this statement, if God were your father, you would love me. Now, think about this. How many of you listening today, when you heard the gospel message or the truth, you already knew it was true. You just knew you had to start. You knew you had to start doing it, right? Because God was your father. There's predestination. There is an elect in the Bible, okay? And there is free will, and they're not the same, okay? One of the 12 disciples or apostles is not the same as those, you know, they were given the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. But they were chosen while the others had to accept on free will. And anyways, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now check this out. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? He's not saying it's their choice. He says, you can't understand it. That is pretty eye-opening. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. Again, a father isn't somebody you choose. It's somebody who you came from already. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay, so Jesus says that you naturally, by nature, do the lusts of your father, because that's who you're of. That's who you come from. All right. First, John, I'm going to do a couple of side references here. We talked about Cain a little bit and how he was of his father, the devil. Well, First John, these aren't my words. First John chapter 3, verse 12 says this, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, this is interesting. Evil people often will hate righteous people because there is this something inside of them. They know that they're so bad, but yet they hate that which is good. It's like, it's kind of a reactionary thing, right? But the big argument here among Christians, the mainstream view is that Cain was spiritually a son of the devil because he killed his brother. Well, it just doesn't seem to be, that doesn't seem to align with the serpent's seed prophecy in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, nor many of Jesus's words when he says, you can't, you, you can't hear me because what's the reason? Why can't they hear him? Because their father was a devil. So they have this natural instinct to not listen to another father, right? So I believe that, I mean, like I said, the moral lesson is still the same, whether Cain was the spiritual son of the devil or the physical biological line. Now, why people want to try to say there's no physical biological line is because they're trying to protect the Zionist movement, right? They're trying to protect the Zionist movement and say, if you believe in the serpent seed, you're an anti-Semite. Well, if you stop and think about it, if you actually just look at the teaching in itself, if it was only spiritual, it still incriminates Zionism for the very same reasons. So does it matter if there's a biological line or just a spiritual line? I think it does, but yet you still kind of get to the same conclusion if you're following the fruits and the spirit of the people in whom you're talking about. All right. Now, this is interesting, and this is something that people can't write off. A couple facts about where you get your personality from, right? You often hear this, like father, like son, right? Where does that come from, okay? Well, studies say about half of people's personality is inherited, while the other half are a bunch of different factors, right? Like decisions you make, people you hang out with, whatever, environmental and otherwise. And I don't know if anybody would really argue with that. I mean, you see, when I see other families, I'm like, oh, that, I see that kid, his behavior, I'm like, oh, that kind of reminds me of his dad or his mom or whatever. And you kind of see that, right? And it's not necessarily, it can skip generations too. Like I said before, if there's any bad behaviors in any of my kids, it must have came from my grandparents or somebody else. But, all right. Anyways, now what I found fascinating when digging into this is that adopted children's behavior in different studies have been found to mostly model their biological parents and not their adopted parents. So what does that tell us? You can discount serpent seed line. Oh, that's racist. We don't get into racism. But you can't discount what your eyes see. Now, if you have a family line that's, let's say, a rich, powerful, let's say the Rothschilds or something, are they producing a whole bunch of variety of different kids out of that family? Or are they producing more evil, controlling, money-loving, ruthless dictators? What are they producing? They're like father, like son, right? It's following a biological line. So if Satan had a son, Cain, and that line kept reproducing until this age, you would see those same traits and personalities passed on from Satan to Cain to his children. And what would they act like? They'd act like a bunch of serpents. Slick talking, deceptive, but what would be in their heart? Murder, okay? Sin, this incessant desire to serve their father, to serve sin, and to do these things. We know there are people like that today. We know there are family lines of people, and I'm not going to play the judge. I'm not going to say who they are, but we do know they exist, okay? And it doesn't take rocket science to try to figure this out. Now, I've played around with AI and my research and everything. And one thing, you start talking about the serpent seed with probably, well, the version of AI I was using, you start trying to get it to problem solve with you, and it will refuse. It won't go that route. It keeps kicking you back and trying to discredit a physical serpent seed. Now, some people would look at that and say, well, maybe that this is just logical, right? So maybe the serpent seed isn't real because this AI is just logic. No. And for number one, understanding the Bible isn't just logic. If it was just logic, why did the scribes and the Pharisees, who were very intellectual men, smart men, why did they reject Jesus Christ? Jesus said that when Peter recognized Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus said, it's not flesh and blood that's revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So you could play around with AI all day and try to find the truth, but AI isn't the Holy Spirit, right? It can help you with different things. I'm not saying it's totally useless, but what I find curious is that it's programmed to protect this truth. And I've tried to stretch it with different parameters, tried to like trick it, and it knows, okay? And it's resisting this on purpose, okay? Interesting. But if you do if you don't mention the serpent seed in an AI model and you just start researching personality traits from inherited through family lines, it won't kick that back and say that's not true. Okay? But it's interesting, very interesting. So there's something, I want to qualify this. If somebody thinks, man, I'm probably of the serpent seed, I'm doomed, I got to do my father, there's no hope for me. No, it just means like Cain, it's going to be a struggle for you. You need to make that step. You need to make that leap to forsake the father of lies and accept the father of truth. Okay. You need to make that leap. And, or if you've been born in a wicked, evil family, like I said, even scientifically, only half of your personality is inherited. You can overcome that. That might be the obstacle that you have to overcome. You know, Jesus in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 told all the Christians that they needed to overcome. So yeah, we could be born in a family line where certain sins or desires or lusts were implemented to because it's in our DNA, it passed down from family line. But that doesn't excuse you. You still have to be, well, number one, be born again. And a lot of that just changes overnight, right? If you're born again, you can, your desires and your heart changes anyways. So spiritually, you can, with the help of Christ and being born again, no matter what family line, no matter how evil your father was, your grandparents, you can totally be different than them. I'm not saying that people are locked into this. I don't want to say that, but the point I'm trying to make is, aside from Christ, behavior is repeated and inherited through family lines in a large way. Okay. Now you could even, and if you try to, again, if you try to play around with AI models on this, you even see this with races of people. Everybody knows that there are generalizations you can make about all the different races, good and bad stuff about white people, good and bad stuff about Asian people, good and bad stuff about black people. But you know, there are generalizations and you know, they are true and people know they're true, right? But we're being programmed that you can't believe they're true because none of that matters. And what your eyes tell you and what you see is an illusion. It's not really there. Okay. What you need to do is accept that. Yeah, there are these generalities. In different cultures, different nations, accept the truth, learn the truth and the truth shall make you free. Know that. Yeah, this is true. This is a problem. Because if you don't acknowledge the problem, let's say, let's just pick blacks in America, lots of crime, right? You see videos of just careless, senseless murders. Yeah, white people do it, Asian people, other people do it. But everybody knows it's not, and the statistics show us it's not to the same level as blacks in America. That's where you get the term thugs and all this kind of stuff. There is a large segment of their population that is very insensitive to the life of other people. And they go around and take life without much thought about it at all. And we see that. We see that in our cities. And it's not just a learned behavior thing. It's not something that white people did to them. It wasn't slavery. How can I say that? Just go to their native countries. They do the same stuff over there. They don't value life. Let's say the traditionally like European Christians have. Now, European Christians are not perfect people. They've done some horrible things. But there's a difference. Okay. And these are inherited differences that come through family lines. And Jesus, I think, is exposing it here. And it was always well known. There were even prophetic destinies that God gave to Ishmael versus Isaac, Jacob versus Esau. And their family lines acted like their forefathers, right? So the big lie today is Satan wants to hide all of this stuff rather than let us deal with the problem and realize it's a sin nature that we inherit from our ancestors and we need to overcome it. John 10, verse 26, another side reference here. But you believe not. Why? Because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now think about this. A shepherd who has sheep, the sheep don't choose the shepherd. The shepherd has sheep that are his. So Jesus is constantly telling us that people either believe or believe not because of something prior to him meeting them. Now, whether that's a biological plays in biologically, or they made a bunch of choices early on in their life, I'll let you guys decide that. But what we do know, he says, you believe not. And the reason is not because they just were bad. He didn't say, but you believe not because you're choosing to be evil. He says, you believe not because you are not of my sheep. John chapter 10, verse 26, verse 27 says, but you believe not because you are not my sheep, as I said unto you. I kind of duplicated that verse. Sorry about that. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, this is true in nature. If you ever study shepherds and their sheep herders, the sheep know instinctively the voice of their shepherd. When they hear the voice of their shepherd say, come, 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 all the sheep will come. If they hear somebody else tries to fake that and go, come, 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 they totally ignore that voice. Jesus has people that he can just walk up to and say, come here, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. And we just say, yes, okay, here we go. And, you know, kind of prance. If you look at the sheep, you know how happily they prance to their shepherd. That's like a Christian coming to Jesus. Verse 16. John chapter 15, verse 16. More on predestination versus choice. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, speaking of the 12 apostles, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So Jesus says, you didn't choose. Well, we know Jesus. They didn't choose Jesus. How can they choose Jesus when Jesus just walks up and says, follow me to fishermen? Now, someone would ask, how is that fair for Jesus to come up and tell some fishermen to follow him? But then the fishermen and the other disciples have to go out and proclaim the gospel for other people to hear and accept or deny. How is that? Because there's an elect. There's free will. And I go as far as to say the Bible, I think, outlines it from the very beginning. There's an elect of God, the woman's seed. There's an elect of Satan, the serpent seed. And there's the rest of the people that have to make a choice. And we're there trying to help them make the right choice. Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. But he answered, now check this out, but he answered and said, Jesus, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Well, this is an interesting statement. Every plant, I mean, you think about it, okay, so let's say we're talking about a person, right? You plant a person in the earth, they grow up, and they could be either good or bad. But Jesus seems to say that there are plantings here on the earth that the Heavenly Father didn't plant. And we're talking about people. I'll give you one simple example that most people don't deny. even those that deny the serpent seed, are the giants. There were these, in Genesis chapter 6, it says that the sons of God or these fallen angels came down, had sexual intercourse with women, and their children were half angel, half fallen angel, half human hybrids that were giants in stature. So they weren't planted by God, right? They were a hybrid. And so we know there are these things on earth. There are people on the earth that are not fully planted by God, if you would. Even some that are not fully human, right? Cain would not have been fully human. He would have been half Satan, half angelic being, probably a giant. Maybe people believe that Cain was the first giant. And half human. So that's not something that the Father planted. That was a perversion of his natural order. And I will go further to say that there's this parable that Jesus teaches. Most of you are probably familiar with it, called the parable of the tares of the field. Well, that parable states that the Son of Man sowed seed in the field, which grew up, and they were the children of the kingdom. But the enemy, Jesus said, came in the night and sowed tares in the field, these poisonous weeds that look like wheat, and you can't hardly distinguish, unless you're an expert farmer, you can't distinguish between this wheat and this tare, which was zawan in the Hebrew or Greek, I think it is, until the harvest. And then right before the harvest, the tares would show their true colors, and then the angels would come and harvest them. But the point being is that Jesus says that the wheat were the children of the kingdom and the tares were the children of the wicked one. But they were both plantings, one planted by God and one planted by Satan. So what am I getting at? I'm getting at origin. It's not purely choice. There are people, millions of people that are servants of Satan, that are in bondage to them. But there is a smaller group of people on the earth that are his biological and or spiritual children that are on a much higher level of evil than they are. And a lot of people, I remember this, a lot of people just try to say all sins are the same. I mean, a homosexual is the same as somebody who stole a candy bar or some kid. It's all sin. It's all the same. Well, it all demands death, right? That's true. But different sins show the depravity of different hearts, right? Let's say some kid picks on another kid, okay? That's a sin. That's bad. We don't do that, right? And we're not justifying it. I'm trying to pick something that's... There's something way different about that than some homosexual pervert that has had sexual relations with 1,000 dudes, other dudes, okay? The depravity of the heart is different. Yeah, they're both sins, but it's not the same degree of wickedness. So what I'm trying to say is that woman caught in adultery was way less wicked than these people who Jesus is talking to, because Jesus didn't say you couldn't be saved, you can't hear the truth because you're a wicked adulteress. He just said, "Get compassion on her," said, "Go and sin no more." And he turns around at these guys. He says, "You're of your father, the devil, and you can't help but do his lusts." Whoa, something way different going on here. The woman caught in adultery, no doubt, probably represents somebody on free will, versus now we're looking at the elect of Satan that Jesus is dealing with here, the serpent seed. Okay, so Matthew chapter 23, I'm going to read through this fairly quickly because this ties into fatherhood, origin, where people came from, as far as who they are by nature. Matthew 23, verse 29-31, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchers of the righteous." In other words, you're the first one to to do some great charitable work, right, for everybody to see. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. What is he talking about there? Who killed the prophets? Well, I think Jesus just showed us that there is this spurious serpent seed line that's always been infiltrating the true children of Abraham, and they're the ones doing the organized crime, killing, murdering, and all that stuff, just as they do to this very day. Doesn't take a rocket scientist for somebody to say, oh, this group of people, they've been responsible for this. They own this. Therefore, they're doing this. We know who they are. It's not hard. The only thing that's hard is the reaction you'll get from other people for pointing out the truth, because Satan doesn't want people to know what's going on, that he has children on the earth doing his work, and they're masquerading as the real righteous people, the holy people, the chosen people of God, but they're the ones that kill all the prophets. Wow, you're the children. You inherited it. You be the children. You inherited the same temperaments that your parents did. So he says, verse 32-34, fill you up then the measure of your fathers. Here he finally exposes it right out in plain daylight. Their fathers, who were their fathers? What is he? Ye serpents, you off, it says generation means you offspring of vipers. Now tell me this, is Jesus talking spiritually or literally here? Well, we know he obviously is referencing Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that there's a serpent seed line that was seeking to kill him. That was the prophecy. Go read it, Genesis 3:15. That was what they're going to do. And now Jesus just pointed the finger at him and said, ha, you're of the serpent seed line. That's why you're doing what you do. You serve your father because that's your nature. So then he says, fill you up then the measure of your fathers. You continue their destiny, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, I just can't get over this when you really look at the word, and this is the problem. Many people look at the Bible through the lens of everybody's on free will. It's all a choice. As far as the big choice, I'm not talking about free will to, I have to go pee, so I'm going to go pee, and God didn't make me have to go pee. We're not talking about that, okay? Talking about big choices. So there are a lot of modern Christians think everybody's on free will. You cannot differentiate between bloodlines and peoples and whatever. None of that matters. It's all spiritual. Then you get the other side. I think this, and I'm not an expert at these different views, but the Calvinist view, from what I understand, they believe that everybody is predestined. You're predestined to either be saved by the gospel or damned by the gospel, right? And they really believe that. They believe that all, I don't believe that at all. I believe the big thing they're missing is there are three categories of people. There are the elect of God, there are people on free will, and there is the elect of Satan. If you see those three categories, everything else makes sense, and you're not forcing scriptures to fit this, you know, you're not twisting everything around to fit one blanket view. Everybody's on free will. It's all choice. It's not. It's not. Because Jesus said it wasn't. He said, I chose you. You didn't choose me, to the disciples. And then Jeremiah was chosen before he was even in his mother's womb to be a prophet unto the nations. Okay. So there's something else way deeper going on here than many people see. So Jesus says, you serpents, you offspring of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify. Think communism. It's been the main source of this. And today, Zionism. And some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, not some spiritual group of people, but some offspring of vipers he's talking about here, shed upon the earth from the blood of righteous Abel, who killed Abel, Cain did, beginning of the serpent lying on earth, unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this offspring. Okay? Offspring means what? Family, biological line. Okay? All right, back to John chapter 8, and we'll close this up here shortly. Maybe I'm just telling you that so you relax and you think it's going to be done soon. It's going to be done soon. All right, verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? There's the question. Why do you not believe me when I tell you the truth? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. You are not a planting which God planted. You would be a tare among the wheat, an imposter chosen. Think about this. The parable of the tares is all about these tares trying to look like the children of the kingdom. What were these guys saying? Oh, we're children of Abraham. We're the righteous heirs to the kingdom of God. But they weren't. Verse 48, then answered the Jews, or those claiming to be Jews. We don't, you know, we want to make this statement clear, is we don't want the serpent seed. We don't want to say, oh, it's all this people or all that people, because we want to, the children of the devil, the serpent seed, the sons of Cain or the Kenites, you want to call them for exactly who they are. Kenites, serpent seed, offspring of vipers. When you call them, when you call these imposters Jews, you're acknowledging their lie. They're not of Judah, okay? They're not of Judah. It was these group of people claiming to be of Judah. So it says here, then answered the Jews, or those claiming to be Jews, and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now they're getting really mad at Jesus because he just said, your father's the devil and you're going to do his lust. Now they're throwing it back at him saying, you're a Samaritan possessed with the devil. Now at this time, the Jews considered the Samaritans half-breeds, not truly fully biological sons of Israel, which is, it's kind of interesting because Jesus shed the Samaritans on a good light at this time. And the Samaritans, I think there were probably remnants of the 10 lost tribes, not lost, but still there, and called themselves Samaritans at this time. And so the ironic thing about this is most all of Jesus' disciples, but one, were chosen from Samaria or Galilee, that northern Israel, while the only one who betrayed him, who was no doubt of the serpent seed, Judas, was the only one that was a Jew, someone who lived in the land of Judea. And so the ironic thing about this is they seem to have it backwards. Those in Judea were more mixed, pedigree-wise, than the Samaritans were. Yet they're casting this at Jesus, calling him a Samaritan. Verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. I think he's talking spiritual death, or the saying that one will not experience the second death, the death of the soul. Verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Again, they didn't realize that Jesus was talking spiritually. We know, I'm not going to go into this whole what death is and all that, but we know when Adam and Eve sinned, God said, in the day that you eat of this tree, you die. Well, they ate of it and they didn't physically die, but they were dead spiritually. And they did later on die in that same day, if you would. If a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, you could say that. But we're talking about, they're not understanding that he's going on a deeper level here. Verse 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Now I have to take a moment here and talk about the great betrayer of our nation right now. Most conservatives by this time, most meaningful conservatives, besides people totally out of the loop, I don't want to insult anybody, know that Donald Trump has done a total of 180 on us. And he's still doing things for show, like renaming Lake Ontario, Lake America, so the dumb, mindless people that think, yeah, cool America, yeah, he's really fighting for us, but gas prices are going through the roof. We're on the verge of nuclear war and all this stuff, but he's playing 5D chess and he gets to rename Lake Ontario, Lake America. And so we're pacified now. We're pacified. It's so simple when you read this. Jesus says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. There is not one person in the world that we know of more that honors himself than Donald Trump. Publicly. Sure, there might be other people. But on a public level, everybody knows the guy is constantly honoring himself. I'm the greatest. I did this. Look at what I built. I did, you know, I'm this, I'm that. Total opposite of what Jesus says. And probably this, I think this was a warning to us in the beginning, but again, those of us that supported him in the early years thought maybe he would humble himself and change, but we haven't seen that happen. So when you honor yourself, your honor means nothing, okay? That's what the Antichrist does, honors himself. And I'm not saying Trump's the Antichrist, but the spirit definitely aligns there. Verse 55, yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Again, many people look at this as Jesus acknowledging that their biological father was Abraham, but they were spiritual children of the devil. I disagree. I think he's still playing along with their game. I think he's being sarcastic. We see this happen in conversations all the time. You just acknowledge somebody's claim. Sure, that's what you say. But, and, if, and this are the qualifications, right? So Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now there he uses that I am statement again. He uses that like 7 times in the book of John, which is the sacred name of God. Okay, I am that I am. I can be whatever I want to be. And so what he's saying, he just got done saying that he existed before Abraham. And that Abraham, I can't remember if we read it or not, maybe it's the next verse, rejoiced to see his day. Okay? Rejoiced to see his day. So Jesus preexisted, elect. Verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him, more than the elect, but he is the elect one. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. All right. In closing, if there's one thing that you get out of this study, is at least if you're somebody who just says good people of God, bad people of Satan, and that's it. And that's all this other stuff is just nice and fancy ways of saying it. I want you to look a little bit closer at why Jesus says some people hear and some people cannot hear, and see what his reasoning was behind that, and do a deeper dive on your own to discover what exactly is going on here with all of that. With that said, we'll take questions and comments if we have any. Do we have a number?
Going on.
All right.
Lots.
All the pressure's on you. Read them well.
Make sure you skim them first.
Okay. There's two sides going on here.
Is the light on?
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure when you talk into the, make sure the mic is close to your mouth. Some people have trouble hearing
okay. The
questions part.
All right. It says 0.02% of human, oh wait. I don't know. R. 0.02% of humanity are Jews. I would guess 35 to 50% of humanity are tares, weeds, the devil's kids. How many Christians will hear, "Get away from me, I never knew you"?
I think it's 2% of the world's population are 2 out of every 100 is Jewish.
And maybe I thought, that's,
but maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong on that. No. Or claims to be, right? Because we know that not everybody that claims to be is, right? So it's a, but anyways, okay.
He also said, how many atheists, Muslims, or other religions are tares? When Jesus said these words, there were no Christians or Muslims. John 8, ye are of your father the devil, presented by Ben Haman Ministries.
Oh, okay. I know who that is, probably. So here's one thing you want to look at. I mean, when we're talking about the children of the devil or the serpent seed, Satan's kingdom, you even see it in the book of Revelation. The kingdom of the dragon has the multi heads in Revelation chapter 12. It has, 7 heads, 10 horns, whatever the exact picture of that was. When we're talking about the serpent seed, we're talking about an organized network of people that control this stuff, right? And we're not talking about all the disconnected people in the world that are just non-believers, or maybe they could even be a devil worshiper, right? That you could say they are a spiritual son of the devil then, because they know they're worshiping the devil. But again, there is a people on the earth trying to build Satan's kingdom in a very intentional way. All right. All right. Do I need to look at this and read this? Just read them. I don't care what they're saying. I'll tell you to stop reading. Just start reading, and I'll tell you to stop reading.
Saying that you're saying all Jews are, are of the devil, or no, and he's basically in confliction with what you're saying, that the Jews are the terrorists, and that nobody else is the terrorist. Like, there's other people that are also.
Well,
I don't know if you get that from what he's saying. He's just.
So it sounds like he's refuting the idea that there is a serpent seed, and that he's leaning on good people are followers of God and bad people are followers of Satan. Well,
if you don't know the beginning, you'll never know anything.
Yeah.
Else.
For some reason, I don't know. I know this person is this person that's talking is of Ashkenazi Jewish descent. So instead of him acknowledging the hard truth that he may not be of the tribe of Judah, and I'm not saying he's of serpent seed. I'm not accusing him of that. He's reacting every time on our videos when we're talking about the serpent seed or those claiming to be Jews that are not. And this is a mark of Cain in that there's that knee-jerk hatred of what's right. Okay. Abel's offering was righteous and Cain's was wicked. That's why Cain sought to kill Abel because of that reaction there. So my advice to the guy, call me Ben Heyman. he knows who he is. He knows that I know who he is. Just face reality, man. Deal with it. Learn the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Stop resisting it. Accept the truth. Accept that I'm not up here out of the hatred of my heart trying to just label some people children of the devil to make myself feel good. I'm just trying to proclaim the truth. I'm not out here trying to give people labels, okay? I am just trying to study the word, understand it, and proclaim it as it is to the best of my ability. I do not have some Jew hatred in my heart to go after the Jews and all that. That's all lies, okay? And I would say that, I almost feel like this guy that's calling me Ben Haman, I feel like this guy is very similar to the guys that Jesus was dealing with. Claiming to be of Abraham's seed and then calling him a Samaritan and all this kind of crap. So just accept the reality. Learn the truth and the truth will set you free. All right. We won't take any more from him.
Yeah.
Jump ahead to one of Ron's.
Yeah, there's a lot of good feedback.
We're not going to be able to.
All right, let's go.
Are you going to let me read it?
Yes, please.
Okay. Keith Olson said to the other guy, if you're to learn to appreciate the teachings of Christian overcomers, start your own ministry. The things you're saying and using as weapons are falling short. We know they are.
All right. Next.
All right. Ron said, it's been said that the Pharisees brought the accused woman to Jesus because of their jealousy of the 10 tribes. That is to say, those of Judah among the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. There is I think Cain, you go back to Cain, he was hated Abel because Abel's offering was acceptable to God, but Cain's wasn't. And so he had this hatred in his heart for it. So if you think about it, if you're not the chosen people of God, and there's this other people where you pretty much kind of know they probably are the chosen people and you're not, you're going to be very reactionary towards those people and say, they're the devils, they're bad, they're all this. Because you know deep down, there's something deep down in your heart, you know who you are. And you're jealous. And it's like, and we see that. We see that same, and we see that hatred of the modern state of Israel against Western Christian civilization. They masquerade as though they're this greatest democracy, a friend of ours, but they really actually don't like Christianity. They ban it. And we've seen, a lot of other terrible stuff happening out of that country.
Also quoted John 10:16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Those are the lost sheep. You put that in parentheses.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good reference.
See. Ron said, look into who built Las Vegas and where they sent the money. It's a micro, I don't know what that says, of their activity.
Microcosm?
Yeah.
Interesting. I haven't ever looked into it, but yeah, it's, you know, known as Sin City, right? Gambling and prostitutes. And like I said, we were there not long ago, but we were staying away from most of that stuff. Didn't see it because we were there for hockey, but totally believe it.
Ron said, in verse 31, did the false Jews who said they believed actually believe if they would not acknowledge the bondage of past slavery? No. So the claim to Abraham.
Trickery, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
And then.
So that I'll just, in case somebody didn't hear that, the claim of the Jews, those claiming to be Jews or of Abraham's seed, not acknowledging that they were in bondage, that their nation had been in bondage, is evidence that they were lying.
I think that's it.
All right. We didn't miss anybody? No, we didn't miss any important ones?
No.
Don't want anybody's feelings getting hurt saying that we're not. Just so you guys know, if we missed your question or comment, Pastor Ben's not purposely skipping over your comment because I'm afraid to answer it or whatever. It could just simply be our moderator over there might have, you know, accidentally scanned it or missed it or whatever. So, it's trying to weed through some of that's probably not the easiest thing to do. Oh, he stole a candy bar. Evil, wicked, son of the devil. All right. All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us. Just this book of John never ceases to enlighten us. I can't wait to get into chapter 9. More on that next Sunday. God bless you. Stay in his word every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer.
Great sign burning in the sky, woman crying, crowned with light. Dragon waiting at her feet, teeth like night, heart for a spite. Child is carried to a throne, war breaks out above this world, earth opens like a shield. Heaven's banner. Testimony in our hands, chased and cornered, still we sing.